to send into the Bible. What can we learn from this scripture about reconciliation?
这个创世纪32章是在讲到一个和好的一个过程。我们可以看看从这段经文里面，我们能够在和好这方面学习什么样的功课。圣经的中心也都是在讲和好。
I would like to share with you what God has shown me through this scripture and several points.
我要跟你们分享上帝借着这段经文对我的一些的教导，可以看到不同的一些点。Number
one, humility on the part of perpetrators, wrongdoers, is an absolutely necessary precondition for successful reconciliation.
第一点也就是谦卑，那个侵犯别人的，他如果要和好，第一步他要先有这个谦卑的心。
In Genesis 32, we see the humility of Jacob. More than once, he called his brother, my Lord, my master, instead of you. And he calls himself your servant, instead of I, my, me.
所以在这个章的里面，我们就看到雅各他有一个谦卑的心。当他称呼他的长兄的时候，他不是说我，还是用这个。 这些人称他反而是说我是你的仆人。
This is a remarkable stance on the part of Jacob. When he was still in his mother's womb, she was told by God, the elder boy will serve his junior. And Esau the senior was told by his father, you shall serve your younger brother.
在他们都还在母亲的这个肚子里面的时候， 妈妈有告诉，对妈妈说，这个小的要来管这个大的。对父亲说，是这个大的要服侍小的。Jacob's
humility is displayed not only towards his brother. He confesses to his God, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only one staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups.
所以在这边他对他的神也是这样的承认，一切都是从神那里来的。他第一次来的时候，他只不过他单独一个人，现在他回来的时候是一大团队的人。
This humility was a spiritual price Jacob had to pay before he could settle back in the land which he had yearned so long to return to, and the land where he could further build up his family with peace of mind, free from fear of possible attacks and retaliation by his aggrieved elder brother.
所以他这个以色列这个应许之地，这是他非常想回来的这个地方，让他可以继续来建立他的家庭。但是他要来之前， 他必须要付上这个所谓属灵的这个代价，也就是要有这个谦卑的心。Can we have a shorter
sentence? Point two, reconciliation entails sometimes a material price. In the case of Jacob, the price tag is a pretty stiff one, an assortment of livestock totaling 550 heads.
第二方面， 我们知道在这个所谓和好之前，有些时候也要付上一些所谓物质上面的代价。这一次雅各回来，他给他的哥哥至少有550头的牲畜。By
the end of 2005, Germany had paid out a staggering amount of 63,224 million euros as a compensation for Nazi crimes. I expect she's still paying surviving victims. The payment is financed out of taxes paid by all German citizens. They must have reckoned that peace and harmony with the European neighboring nations and moral integrity in relation to the Jewish nation were worth this still ongoing financial cost.
一直到2005年的时候， 这个德国的政府还是继续在用这个巨款来赔偿这些过去在这个市战当中这个 Nazi 他们 所侵犯的人这些的家庭来表达整个这个德国他们的这个反悔他们要补偿这些受侵害的这些犹太人。
Your sense of guilt and remorse can be effectively communicated to the aggrieved party in material ways by what you do through your deeds, not only through your words, what you say by way of apologies.
我们对这个被侵犯者的表达我们的忏悔，不仅仅是用我们的口来说而已，更是要用一个行动来表达。包括就像德国这要拿出一个巨款来赔偿这些受侵犯的人。
Point three, another absolutely necessary precondition for reconciliation is a sense of guilt and remorse on the part of the perpetrator.
第三方面，一个要和好之前的前奏，也就是这个侵犯者，他必须要有这个罪疚感，并且他要表示这个忏悔的心。
When it was getting light and Jacob's opponent begged him to be released, Jacob insisted that he wouldn't let go of him unless his opponent blessed him.
所以在刚才我们读的经文的当中，我们看到雅各跟这个天使在摔跤的时候，直到他给他祝福之前，他都不放手。
Then your anonymous opponent asked, "What's your name?" A very simple and obvious question, you might think.
这个跟他摔跤的不知道是谁的，这个就问雅各就问他说，他问问他说你的名字叫什么
？He knew.That Jacob had asked God to rescue him from Esau. He was fearful of his elder brother. The opponent also knew that Jacob was very desirous of reconciliation and peace with his brother.
这个他摔跤者很知道这个雅各很希望跟他的长兄要能够和好。
By putting him this seemingly obvious question,The opponent was trying to make Jacob see why he had had to spend 20 long years away from home in the first place, and why he found himself still cornered and fearful of his only brother.
这个问他这个问题很简单的问题，你叫什么名字？是要让雅各能够看到自己的这个情况。他为什么需要有20年的时间流亡在外面
？The opponent reminds Jacob, Jacob, oh yes, that is the answer you should have given when your father asked you what's your name, my son. But you lied and said, "I'm Esau, your brother, your firstborn."
这边呢也提醒雅各过去。的一个罪过，也就是当他的父亲问他的时候，你叫什么名字？他骗了父亲说，我是以扫，你的长子。
On hearing Jacob's honest, straight answer with no excuses attached, the opponent blessed him then and there, renaming him Israel. Through your humility, honesty, and moral integrity, you have come out a winner.You have won peace with God of justice. You are now on the way to achieving reconciliation with your brother.
但是这一次，当这个人问雅各的时候，你叫什么名字？雅各就照实来回答。也因为这样，就表示他这次才是真正的得胜了。
The name a person bears is not just a name.
所以一个人的名字不仅仅是一个名字而已。
When Esau discovered that he had been tricked and fraudulently robbed of the blessing which was due to him, he uttered a heartbreaking cry, Jacob, the name is a perfect reflection of what he is.
当时以扫知道自己被骗之后， 他就喊叫说，雅各，你这个名字真的是跟你所做的是非常符合的。
A name embodies the bearer's past and present, what he or she was and did, what he or she now is and does.
所以一个人的名字就包含他的过去、现在跟将来，他是怎么样的一个人，他做什么事情都包含在他的这个名字里面。
Point four, although Jacob couldn't elicit the name of the opponent, he named the memorable place Peniel, which means the face of God.
在这边雅各虽然就不让那个人没有告诉他这个名字是什么，他就称那个地方叫做 Peniel.
Although it's not apparent in translation, the Hebrew word panim, meaning face, appears to be the key word of this story.A literal translation of verses 21 and 22 would read something like this. You should say, Look, sir, your servant Jacob is also behind us, for he has thought, With this gift going before my face, I would like to cleanse his dreadful face of anger and hate, and then later I might be able to look him straight in the face. Perhaps he may say,Look me up in the face. And the gift proceeded before his face, and that night he lodged in the camp. In the next chapter, we see Jacob in his brother's arms, saying, As I look you in the face, it looks like God's face.
其实在这边，这个名称在希伯来文的基本的一个意思就是面，就是我们的这个脸。所以这个词呢，在这段经文里面是有一直的重复所以包括我寻求你的面等等一直重复，这是他的一个中心。
At Peniel, Jacob had a face off with God. Our Peniel is Calvary, where every time we realize we have committed a sin, we have a face off with God as we listen to Jesus asking us.What's your name?
在这边呢，就像雅各一样他是面对面看见他的神。但是对我们来说，我们来到加列山的时候，我们是面对面对基督，就像基督在问我们一样，你叫什么名字？
Point five. When his opponent was gone, the sun shone for him, not above him. He was now out of a long,pitch dark tunnel of fear, anxiety, uncertainty, and guilty conscience. He was marching on happily in the broad daylight.
当这个他们摔跤之后，这个日头这个日光就出来了。这个就表示这个雅各呢已经走出他这个黑暗之处，已经进入到一个光明的地区。
But wait.He was limping along. In the rest of the book of Genesis, we don't read of Jacob being cured of this handicap for the rest of his life. Whenever he needed to hurry, ouch, he would be reminded of that incident at Peniel and all that it implied.
在这边呢，我们也发现说，但是这个雅各出来的时候，他的脚就缺了 ，OK， 所以圣经里面没有让我们看到说他这个缺腿会好，而是永远呢留着一个记号在提醒他。
Some time ago, we had a Korean missionary staying with us. During the breakfast one morning, he told us an interesting story. It's about a naughty boy. One day, his father said to him.Listen, if you misbehave next time, I shall hammer an iron peg in the wooden wall of our living room. Pegs kept increasing. After some time, there were 20 of them. The boy was despondent. Then he had a bright idea. Dad, if I do a really good thing for you, would you pull one of the pegs out?The pegs kept disappearing, and after time, there was none left. The boy was overjoyed. But when he took a close look at the wall, he could still see 20 holes in it, but he didn't ask his father to fill them up.
有一次我们有一个韩国的宣教士到我们的家，他就讲了这样的一个故事，就是一个很调皮的孩子的故事。这个孩子很调皮，所以有一天呢，他的父亲就对他说，每一次你调皮的时候，我就钉一个铁钉在这个这个墙壁上面。所以呢，这个铁钉呢就 越来越多，一直到有20根的这个铁钉。有一天这个孩子呢就忽然间想到一个很好的概念，他说，爸爸，如果我做一件好事，是不是每一次你就可以拔掉一只的铁钉啊？他真的就这样做了，这个墙壁上的铁钉呢就一根一根的减少了，一直到没有一根铁钉在这个墙壁的上面。但是当他详细的在看这个墙壁的时候，那20个洞还是存留，而这个父亲没有把那些洞涂掉。
Coming back to Genesis 32, this episode would remain stuck not only in Jacob's memory, but also become part of the national memory. Even hundreds of years later, when the book of Genesis was written, his descendants wouldn't eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip of any animal.They needed to be reminded from time to time that although they were named after this forefather as children of Israel, although they had been chosen by the God for a special blessing and a unique mission for the mankind, it was not because of their forefather, but in spite of him when he was still named Jacob.This applies to us also, New Israel.
今天这个雅各的这个经验不单单是单单对雅各是一个提醒，甚至于对这个整个的以色列民永远是一个提醒，甚至于一直到今天他们都不吃这个任何动物的这个脚窝的筋。当然这个也是提醒我们，如果我们有过犯的时候，那个痕迹常常还是存留。
Point six, a name is born not only by an individual person, but also by a group of individuals, a family, a church, a company, or a nation. That the name embodies its bearer applies to groups as well. There is no group which doesn't have.Dark pages in their history. It's very much necessary for us to remember and learn from our history, both personal and collective, and both bright and dark sides of it. I would even say that this is necessary not only for perpetrators, but also for victims. However painful for the latter, we are all fallible humans.Victims of yesterday could degenerate into victimizers tomorrow.
所以今天一个人的名字不单单是代表他自己或者他个人承担，很多时候也是整个群体来承担这个名字。所以我们要从历史来学习这些功课，不单单是那个侵犯人的那个被侵犯的，他也要记得这些的。功课，因为昨天被侵犯的很可能明天他是侵犯别人的，我们每个人也都是同样的软弱，我们也都同样可能去做出一些对别人不好的事情。
Since 2003, when I retired from Leiden University, I have been visiting Asia every year for voluntary teaching, tithing my time for a minimum of 5 weeks.This is an act of penance against the background of incalculable damages, losses and sufferings, physical, material, mental, inflicted by my compatriots during the first half of the last century.
现在我在退休之后，我每一年都用五周的时间到不同的国家奉献我的时间，这是要表示我代替我过去我们国家那些侵犯别人的这个偿还这个罪债的一种的表示。
During the 3 years of occupation of this country, the Japanese army inflicted horrible damages and sufferings on hundreds of thousands of peoples here. Some other Asian peoples suffered as badly or even far worse, like Korea and China.
包括在菲律宾这三年，在这个二战的时候，日本人侵犯这里的人，有许许多的人的受伤害，特别像韩国还有中国他们可能也受到更大的这种的伤害。我愿意好像说代表我们的国家来偿还这个债。
Unlike one of our then allies, Germany, my country has done precious little since the end of the war in order to deal with its past.
不像德国一样，德国有偿赔偿这些受侵犯者，但是我们日本这个国家好像没有做出什么很明确的行动来表达这个忏悔。
In the 1970s, when we lived in Manchester, Great Britain, every year on the second Sunday of November, Remembrance Sunday, BBC would telecast a well-known film, Bridge on the River Kwai.
过去我们在这个欧洲的时候，每到11月的第三周有一个纪念日，在那个纪念日的时候，这个电台呢就会播出一部电影，就是 Bridge over the River Kwai。
It's a film about the infamous 415-kilometer-long Thai-Burma railway built by the Japanese Army during the Pacific War, and with illegal use of prisoners of war of the Allied forces. Because of harsh working conditions, poor nutrition, insufficient medical supplies, and physical violence, some 13,000 out of about 61,000 POWs are estimated to have perished.
这部电影就是在讲述在战争的当中日本在缅甸建了一个很长的这个桥，但是他们都是用这些战炉来做这个很艰难的一个工作。当时大概有6万的这个战炉呢，其中大概有10,000多人呢，就因为这个卫生的条件啊，这个饮食的缺少啊，还有这个劳力，都死在这个工程的当中。
We also know that on the construction of this railway, a huge number of laborers were brought, often by force, from some neighboring Southeast Asian countries.
同样的，建筑这条的铁道也是用很多的战炉去工作。并且这些战俘很多也就是死于这一项的工程。
Of the estimated 200,000 laborers, some 90,000 are said to have perished. Unlike in the case of the Allied forces, there are no precise statistics, which doesn't by any means diminish the scale of tragedy and the extent of injustice.
听说有200,000人。其中有90,000人就这样死了，反而这是这些另外一边的这些国家，他们没有这个数据其实他们所做出的这个伤害是非常大的。
I once read of an Indonesian forced laborer. He survived the ordeal. However, at the end of the war, he was penniless and couldn't pay for a return home.So he decided to stay put, marrying a local Thai woman. Some years ago, he was met in his village by an ex-Japanese soldier, Nagase by name. He had served as an interpreter at one of the railway construction sites. The Indonesian was just as poor as at the end of the war. So Nagase offered him some money for a return air ticket.
我几年前在这有这个在泰国的地方有见到一个印尼籍的这样的一个战俘，在战后的时候他就留下来，因为都没有钱能够回到自己的老家，他就在当地就娶了当地的人，就在这样住下来了。有一次有另外的一个日本的这个过去的这个军队的人也是跟他一样他们的见面了，他就给他一点钱，要让他回到他自己的这个家乡。
One evening at a meeting in his old village in Sumatra, he talked about his experiences in Thailand. At the end of his talk, an old woman came up to him and asked, "Do you remember me?" Hard as he tried, he couldn't remember who she was. Then she muttered, "I was your fiancé, and I still am." And then the old man broke down, bursting into tears unashamedly.
当他回到自己的老家，在苏门答腊的时候，有一个晚上，在他们的村里面，他在跟他们分享他过去的这个经历。结束的时候，有一个年长的女人来找他，就问他说：“你还认识我吗？”这个战俘他一直想，也就是想不起来。最后这个女人跟他说：“我就是你的未婚妻，一直到现在还是你的未婚妻。”
Near the bridge on the River Kwai, there stands a memorial, stone memorial built by ex-POWs who survived the hail. On the memorial are engraved the names of all their colleagues who didn't make it. And there is an inscription at the bottom. "We forgive you, but we shall never forget."
所以在这个 River Kwai 的旁边，这些活着的这些战俘，他们就建立了一个碑，也就是为了他们这些同道一直在那边牺牲的人，他们的名字刻在那个地方。但在下面有写着这样的一句话：“我们赦免你们，但是我们不会忘记。”
One Japanese Christian pastor referring to this inscription said,"How wonderful that we have a God who forgives and forgets. 2 years ago, when I taught in Taiwan, I preached at a church in Taipei. The title of my sermon was, 'Is our God forgetful?' My answer to this rhetorical question was a resounding no."
有一个日本的牧师，他看到这个纪念碑的时候，他就很高兴地说：“啊，我们的神多好，他赦免，他也忘记。”但是我个人，我有一年回到台湾的时候，我讲到的时候，我讲了一个题目：“我们的神健忘吗？”我的答案是不。
Our God is not in the business of revising, doctoring, or polishing up our spiritual curriculum vitae. If we truly confess our sin and are forgiven, He will draw a line across the relevant page of our curriculum vitae, but will not tear the page off or blot it over with correction liquid.
我个人认为，我们的神，一方面我们承认我们的罪，他会赦免我们的罪，但是呢，在我们个人的履历的里面，我们的这个过去，他只不过画了一个擦线，但是他不会把这一页撕掉丢掉，那也永远是留在我们的履历表的里面。
Only by remembering what grievous sins we have been forgiven, we can be truly grateful to our God for His love and mercy. I don't think the message encoded in the inscription on the stone memorial is at all unbiblical or unchristian. to imagine that our God forgives our sins and then forgets about them is cheap grace. To the cross on which our Lord died had two bars of wood, timber, crossing diametrically each other. The one symbolized God's justice, the other symbolized God's love and mercy. This is the only cross with which we can be saved from our eternal perdition.
我相信我们的神不是一个健忘的，因为只有我们记得我们过去是犯了多么惨的一个罪，才会让我们更加的能够去欣赏上帝所给我们的这个爱跟他的这个赦免。我认为这个纪念碑所写的没有违背圣经的原则，我们赦免，但是我们不忘记。其实我们这个十字架的记号是有一个横的，一个竖的，一个是代表上帝的公义，一个是代表神的爱。这也是唯一的让我们能够真正的知道神的这个救恩。如果上帝是赦免，但是他忘记，我认为这只不过是一个便宜的恩典。
9 years ago, when I gave a lecture at the University of Nanjing and was introduced to the audience as Muraoka, I was fully conscious that on the 15th of August 1945, my late father, Muraoka Yoshie, was there as a lieutenant colonel of the Imperial Japanese Army.
9 years ago, 我到南京教导的时候，当他们介绍我的这个姓名的时候，我就想起在战争的那个时代，我的父亲也就是其中的一个兵士，并且是一个有官职的这个兵士。
At that time, I was 7 years old.
那个时候
December 1937, when the massacre of Nanjing took place, I was still in my mother's womb.
我那个时候很年轻，但是这个南京大屠杀的时候，我还在妈妈的肚子里。
However, I agree with Richard von Weizsäcker, a prominent German Christian statement on the 8th of May 1985, on the 40th anniversary of the defeat of Germany, he delivered a famous speech, 40 Jahre in der Wüste, 40 years in the wilderness, to the German parliament as the then president of the Federal Republic of Germany.
我很同意一个德国的一个政治家，他在这个纪念这个战争40年的时候，他有讲了一句话，也就是40年在这个旷野的里面。
He said,
他说
"One who closes his eyes to the past becomes also blind to the present. Most of German citizens today." Were either children or not born during the war. They cannot confess sins which they didn't commit personally. However, guilty or innocent, young or old, we Germans are all responsible for what we make of this historical legacy and how we relate to it.
一个人如果他忘记过去所发生的事情，他对将来也是盲目的。虽然在那次的战争的当中，现在的德国人很多人都还没有生出来，但是无论是男女老幼每一个人对这场的战争也都要付出这个责任。
阿门，
阿门。